Well, sure it's quiet in here today.
Yes, a little too quiet, if you know what I mean.
I'm afraid I don't.
You see, bees usually make a lot of noise. No noise! Suggests no bees.
Oh, I understand now. Well, look, there goes one.
To the Beemobile!
You mean your Chevy?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to Put on an H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Did you have a nice bank holiday weekend?
I did. I
hit you with a bit of a curveball there.
Surprised me in rehearsal. No, I signed contracts for the house.
Hey!
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I did absolutely nothing the rest of the days, really. Hmm. I don't think I even left the house on Monday.
No, nice.
So it was actually brilliant.
Yeah.
So yeah, I signed the, like, I don't know why, like, even though we know all the stuff is happening with the house and it's fine and all this stuff, it's just this big commitment that just it makes me go like, ugh.
What am I doing? What am I doing?
Huge fucking mistake.
I do say so myself.
So so there was that. But yeah, that was pretty big. And apart from that, bupkis.
Yeah.
How about you?
I got out for a few pint-a-roonies on Saturday.
Speaking
don't you
of...
dare. That looks...
Now, I've never had a tea, but I see you asking. Sorry for the interruption. I usually steer clear of Monster.
Monster.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Monster Ultra Blue and the zero calorie, zero sugar.
Yeah, believe that, do you?
Look at this. Look at the colour of it. Oh, my Christ.
It's a blue Cool Pop. Oh, Jesus.
I've never seen a drink that colour.
Okay. Pour it in your glass.
Oh my god.
That's acid. This is like something out of The Simpsons. If you can compare the green in the nuclear plant, that is the equivalent blue.
Do you want to sip?
I'll take it.
Looks rotten. It's actually not awful. It looks awful. It's not too bad.
Oh, no, I couldn't drink, no.
I mean, I'm not looking forward to drinking 500 mils.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to drinking a pint of
that
it.
That puts me off the Monster. It's like the size of the can.
And you know, when I was in the queue getting this, I realised, what is it?
Citrus Clear Lucozade. And a Dairy Milk.
Well, I will say...
I noticed you went with a twirl.
I went with a twirl. It is the... I can't think of a good analogy. It's the best chocolate bar out of all of them.
Erroneous, but I'll allow it.
Eating a twirl is not like making love to a beautiful woman.
Eating a twirl is...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As long as there's absolutely no follow-up questions.
I would say, actually...
It's glamorous.
A flake is more like making love to a beautiful woman.
Yeah, let me tell you. A twirl is a flake, Terry, with an extra layer of chocolate over there.
So it's not a flake, then?
It's a flake and then some.
Yeah, but it's not a flake. Like, that's like saying...
You could have sex with a beautiful woman.
Like, that's like saying, I don't know, this car is a boat, except it doesn't have an extra layer on it. Like,
this is literally a flake and then some. If you could have sex with a beautiful woman, well, you know what? I'm not even going to go.
Please, I'm going to pull the plug on
Sorry,
this.
You were having pints anyway.
I got out for a few pints on Saturday. It was very fun. We were around, you know, Parnell Street.
Yes.
Yeah, his friend of the show, Colin Pilo, is moving out of his house. So we went around for a leaving party.
Parnell Street, eh?
Parnell Street. And it, I tell you what.
Hustle and bustle.
It is getting a little bit gentrified. And I like it.
Mm.
We were in a little place called Big Romance. Walked past it twice before I found it. It's just like a little sort of...
Not so big then, eh?
Well, actually, it goes quite far back. Ooh. But it was a lovely little kind of speakeasy vibe. Plenty of old crafties in there. They
now,
do.
What's that word mean? Speakeasy. I've heard it used a few times for an establishment.
Speakeasy would be like the definition of it was when alcohol was prohibited. Prohibition was on. Ooh. A speakeasy would be where you would go to get a drink.
An illegal drink.
Yeah. This place is kind of, you know, dark colours. I tell you what I liked about it. The only music they were playing was from vinyl records that they were... It wasn't a playlist or anything, so they play the album in full.
Ooh.
They just had a stack of vinyls behind that. And they just... A bit of the Dan was on for a while, like...
Steely?
Steely.
See, my...
No, plastic.
No, like, my pessimistic side, like, I have to fight it, and when I hear that, I think, hipsters.
Yeah.
But then if I'm there, I would love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
and like, it's very much, like, it's just the way things are going, I would say.
A lot of people wearing hats.
No.
Not baseball hats.
No. Like, there was, you know, there was our crew who would normally, like, we ended up in Fibbers at the end of the night, so it was
what
like...
is it with this place?
I'm prepare yourself!
I'm never
Friday
going
Friday night!
Is that what, no, that's
yes,
not what going.
It is!
No,
it's my last night before the baby gets here, Cantwell.
I'm going home.
No, well, yeah, well, we'll see about that. But we went across the road to another place, Mima's, it's called. I think it's supposed to be Mima's, but anyway.
Oh, right.
But I tell you what, I kind of liked the idea they were going for, but they were mixing their themes in that
it was a restaurant,
like,
or
no, it's a bar.
Bar, right,
but it was like it was kind of like half barcode, half I don't know, Whelan's or Cassidy's or something. In that, like, it had like sort of a cool kind of vibe, and then it'd be a big blue neon light at the top, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't like that.
Also, I had a bit of a run in with one of the bartenders when I first got in.
I'm sitting up, Terry. Yeah. Tell me.
I said to him, there was a pale ale there, and had like it was called a juicy pale ale. Mm. Ambush was the name of the thing. And I said to him, one juicy pale ale, please. He's like, it's called Ambush. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I just like to say the word juicy. And he's like, a big exaggerated roll of the eyes. He's like, it's an ambush. I was like, here you go. Like, there's your money. Like,
you
fuck you.
Fucking prick.
Yeah. Like, whatever happened to the last art of conversation between
a barkeep and a barfly.
And a really annoying guy coming in. Like, I'm annoying you, but you know.
But humour me.
Yeah. And when we were there last time, we ended up giving that guy some of our stickers. He humoured us. Yeah.
He humoured us. He wasn't a fan of us.
I'm just asking you, humour me here.
He didn't like us, but he at least humoured us. I find that I'm getting very old.
Yeah.
Very old, very quickly. But, but I find customer service in this country has gone out the window, if I may
remember
say.
Remember when we used to do it?
We had great customer service.
We knew how to do the dance.
We you wouldn't have two people in a queue and someone would be hopping on to the next till.
I hate
all
that.
The time. And I'll tell you what, I might have even said it before on the podcast, but like, in Arklow, it's a little bit different in that, like, you're just, like, customer service in generally is better, but, like, I don't know why I said it, like, better, but it's better, you spend so long in the queue, because they spend so long talking, like, if you're getting a haircut, it'll take you about an hour,
because
they just stand there with the scissors, not cutting for, like, 10 minutes as they're chatting, and then they're, oh, yeah.
I've got a jiu-jitsu tournament on my way to...
Listen, buddy, I got some ass kick.
I just stopped in for one on the way.
I shouldn't have stopped for that
haircut.
So I find that, but especially, I might have even said it on the last podcast, but when I'm standing there and someone goes, you okay? Yes, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Can I order something? Not like, can I help you? Or, you know, something like that.
Those are dangerous words. Right? Those are dangerous words to utter, as you may well remember.
What?
I remember you said it to a guy who, like, a mentler in the shop who was, like, waiting behind. Yeah, and this person was taking ages to get their stuff out of the way. And you were, like, leaning there and you're like, are you okay? And he was like, am I okay?
He had fucking... It was like you could draw... If you could draw the stereotypical skinhead, like I don't even know what...
He was on some sort of drug.
And the only reason I did it is because he looked so impatient.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, okay, this old lady's getting herself... I'll acknowledge him early.
Yeah. You knew he wanted a pack of smokes or something like that.
Of course.
One transaction.
The funny thing is, normally I would look to you for like,
I would normally muscle. I would normally be over there and
be Terry, I'd be like, you know, if I was if I couldn't harangued. Handle the situation, yeah. Terry come over and be like, listen mate, whatever it is, and yeah. I'd be like, oh good, yeah. And then I look over to you and you're like, nope.
I was just like shaking my head like, no, because this guy is a fucking powder keg, like
fucking noise. And then the whole time, and then he was like, he's banging the till and he's doing all this, and then at the end, you know, like, the complete switch, look, you know what, blah, blah, blah. I'm just sticking out his hand like, oh god,
get out
and get me out with you.
Yeah, but it was a nice few pints, and then nice. I generally did nothing. What did I do Sunday? Not much. Watched the football.
Yes.
I watched Man United. Ooh. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, fine. Fair enough. That's what you're into. But,
of course. And then yesterday, I had to get up on Sunday and get Faye around to her surprise baby shower. Very hungover. Ooh. I think I pulled it off pretty nicely.
Getting her to the
Yeah, getting her literally around the corner. Like, I did not organise it in any way. But
but you got her there in one piece.
And then yesterday, I'll tell you what we did. We watched a bit of 1992's Aladdin. Man, that film holds up.
It's so good.
Yes. But, and when I went to put it on, it accidentally started to put on 2019's Aladdin.
Well.
Let it go for 40 seconds, and I was like, nope.
Really?
And I was not going to stay watching it anyway. I was just like, ugh. And so
that's
I
worse than my record.
Oh no, but I watched it. I watched the 92 and I was like, man, this is fucking deadly. Like the
Gilbert Gottfried is Iago.
Yeah, really, he's so good.
It's the role he was born to play.
But like the music part of it.
Music is unbelievable in it.
Like Robin Williams.
I still sing it to this day, all the time.
And then you know what I did? Because it's out on DVD now, and you can get the clips online. So I watched Never Had a Friend Like Me, but with Will Smith. Looks and sounds like an asshole. No, and I don't mean he does. I mean the whole thing looks like an asshole.
Oh.
Like,
what do you mean?
Ass. It looks like ass, sounds like ass. It's terrible. Oh, I was like...
No. See, this is the only thing.
And then Prince Ali was like, it's so slow, and it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you want it to build.
It's a tempo sort of thing, like, yeah. And he's just like, I'm just looking at him like, man, fuck this guy, like, hashtag not my genie.
Will Smith?
No.
Well, see,
I know we talked about this before on the podcast, but now after actually comparing them.
I don't like the way he looks, I will say that.
I don't like the way he acts. I don't like the way he sounds. I don't like him.
Ah, now, Terry. Big Will.
As a genie.
Fair enough. See, I didn't.
And then did you watch it? Did you
watch? No.
Did you watch the songs? Did you listen to the songs?
I listened. See, I heard on the radio. I was just in there getting some water, and I heard his end credits, Friend Like Me. Not the one from the movie. The one where he's doing a bit of rapping over it.
Too late, y'all done wound me up. Too late, y'all done wound me up. About to show you what I'm working with. It's the Alibaba, it's the Big Papa, it's the Blue Handsome, Jasmine like a flower, it's the grant your wishes, it don't even cost a dollar. You gotten on the carpet when you rotten, wanna holler like, hey, tell me where you wanna go. Hold up, don't tell me I already know. Watch out, it's the genie with an attitude. Three wishes, what I need to make true. Mister, tell me whatever you need. Anything where you range, even climate can change. You ain't never had a friend like.
And I went and texted Tony straight away. I was like, alright, look, is the movie good? That was enough for me to switch my... Well, actually, is it good? Because I liked this one like snippet of song. And he's like, Will Smith is back.
He is not back. He couldn't be. Oh, it's just like so.
Now he's got Gemini Man, his biggest grossing movie ever. Aladdin was, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but not because of him. Like,
no, I think a large part because of him.
No, not at all.
But would you have seen it if there was a?
I didn't go see it with
would
him.
The people.
Yeah, I think so.
Will Smith wasn't the genie.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you can knock about 400 million off that.
So it would make what zero then?
Whatever it made.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
You
worldwide.
Can knock 100% of it.
You know, I'm talking worldwide. Don't you play that game with me?
I think if you took Will Smith out and you replace like. If you take him out and put somebody else equally as famous in...
Tom Cruise. Like, I mean, we're talking.
I think Tom Cruise is a better genie.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Both better genies.
He comes up on every podcast. Yes.
Enough with DiCaprio. I know. Yeah. But I think, like, some. I know we talked about, like, Bill Hader would have been my pick, but, like, somebody,
yes,
like.
Bill Hader would have been great.
But, like, you know.
You would have been perfect.
A big movie star, like, can go in there and fill that role, and that film is still going to do, you know, money.
Yeah.
You know, whereas. I don't know, like, it. It was just really depressing because I was like, man, this is almost better than ever watching it here as an adult. And there's like so much, so much, like, you're like, Jesus, there's fucking, you know, like, oh, we beheaded him, like, as part of it or whatever. And like, I was like, geez, this fucking.
I probably wouldn't even show it to Joni yet.
Not because, yet, like,
the tiger's pretty scary for.
Well, the Cave of Wonders tiger, that thing, like.
You know, that's the whole thing. I'd be like, ugh, you know, it's like if the whole thing swallows them whole and all this. So, yeah, I mean, I'd have to wait a while. Yeah. Like, there were edgier films back in those days.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Like, there was there was more, I guess, stakes or whatever within the film. Like, but one major gaping plot hole. That I found was, you know, the whole thing where he's like, he's not the prince, he is the street rat. And I was like, 10 minutes earlier in the film, she found out that he was the same person. Like, she was like, oh, I bet Abu really would have loved the fireworks. And he's like, he doesn't really like them. Oh, no, no, no. And then he's like, oh, I am a prince pretending to be a street rat sometimes. And like, then the whole big reveal, she's like, you're not a prince? It's like, well, you knew he was a street rat already. Like, it's not that big a thing where it's like,
I mean, did she act, though, so surprised?
Yeah. Huh. And then it's
so
when he comes.
Ali turns out to be.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Like,
I tried to tell you, I'm just so Ali turns out to be merely a lad. Just a calm, need I go on, take it from me. His personality flaws, give me adequate cures. Just send him packing on a one-way trip so his prospects take a terminal dip. His assets frozen, the venue chosen is the ends of the earth. Ta-da! Ex-Prince Ali.
Love it.
Prince Abubu.
even just like the parrots for like Iago the whole time.
Everything
like,
where did you get this guy?
Oh, there's a big surprise. I think I'm gonna have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
You want a cracker?
I was watching I watched a movie myself.
Yeah.
Two things I've watched briefly. One was Daddy's Home 2.
Did you see Daddy's Home 1?
I did not.
Oh.
So, I watched...
that was one of my Christmas...
Did you see it?
Me and Shane used to always try... Shane O'Neill, friend of the podcast, used to always try and fit in a movie around Christmas when he was back. We ended up going to see Daddy's Home one time.
One?
Yeah. Quite enjoyed it. Haven't watched 2 yet. We were close to watching that the weekend.
It's an oddity.
The lads loved it because they loved John Lithgow going, ooh!
It's a weird movie. Like, it's on Netflix, but like it's funny, but it's absolutely awful.
Yeah,
like
it's funny. What the first one is.
It's funny all the way through, and like there was a bit at the end.
Don't ruin it for me. I won't.
But there was a bit at the end. I've never been so like uncomfortable in my own skin.
Right, okay.
Watching a movie at the end. I was like, I was looking at Carrie, I was like, I can't take this. I was like, I have to, I can't even look at it. Like, that, it was that fucking, I can't give away to
Maybe me. I'll watch it before the next episode. No,
you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, they fucking ruined, no, I'm like, I watched a crime doc.
Ooh.
Who Killed Garrett Phillips? You ever seen
it? Oh, I heard of it, yeah.
On that. The best and worst thing. The best thing for her and the worst thing for me that I've ever done is to tell Kerry about the Sky's new channel, the new true crime channel. Because she's all over. She loves all that sort of
stuff. Do you have the box sets or is it just recorded?
No, I got rid of the box sets for standard definition.
Oh, I remember
Sky
we went
Sports.
Over this. Yeah, yeah.
But I realize every time I'm watching a movie or like a doc like that, I'm like the first eyewitness who comes up. I'm always like, he's the killer. Every time, and only this was one of the few times where it's like you could tell straight away by this guy's shifty demeanor, I'm like, right, well, he's the killer. And then it, well, it didn't turn out that he was, but you know what I mean, like there, he was implied throughout the whole thing. But it was actually all right. Like I don't occasionally I'll watch that sort of stuff, but I find a lot of it to be just a bit grim.
Yeah, it is. And we kind of went on a bit of an overload of it in terms of
like the Jinx and
I love the Jinx and I love the Staircase, love them Making a Murderer, the
first West one. Cork.
That the podcast, it's great. Really good. Yeah, yeah, I heard. Faye listened to it, and I was kind of
telling about it.
Yeah, it's good. But like we started watching that one, and we watched it pretty much all the way. We couldn't finish it. The Keepers on Netflix. It's about like the nun that gets murdered.
Oh, I seen and the
talk about fucking grim.
Yeah,
like,
see, I seen the thumbnail. I thought, nah.
Yeah,
it looked grim to
but
me.
But I tell you what is good if you like that kind of thing. Yeah. Did you watch American Vandal?
No.
Ah, good? You'd love it, man. Really? It's that same sort of style. It's it is who drew the dicks on all the teachers' cars. So what? it's like this kid who's like getting kicked out of school all the time. He's a troublemaker, like and it's
mockumentary.
A, yeah, but it's oh, the right, same right. type of thing. But it's like who drew the dicks? Who drew the dicks? And it's like just like he's like well, it's obviously this guy. His whole YouTube channel is dedicated to like he's like drawing dicks, and then they're like, but look how he draws the balls. He has the signature hairs here, and they weren't on the cars. So it's like, I think he's like suspended, and these two guys are like, these two AV nerds are trying to prove that he didn't do it. It's really good. There's two seasons. I went, man, the second season even gets better. But like, it's really, really good.
That does sound right up my street.
And it's on Netflix.
Nice, yeah. Brilliant.
I
all the right things.
Last thing I watched there before we get off this. Watched first half of season 6 of BoJack Horseman.
Oh, yeah.
I would say the premier animated program on TV at the moment.
Whoa.
I think it's fucking amazing. What
Ooh, amazing.
What they managed to do with the show about a talking horse that, like, has all this mad fantastical stuff going on, and like half the time it is a wacky off the wall, you know, wordplay show, and then they manage to get such an insight into like depression and sort of like how like this movie stardom even before that has affected his career, like, and I just think it's like there's so much pathos, for lack of a better word.
What's that mean?
Heart, or like for you, doing it down for you.
Please do.
Heart.
Right. Thank you.
You know, meaning, I guess. For,
right.
But it's
nice.
Very, very good, man. Would you never watch it, did you?
I did, and I've tried to watch it on a few separate occasions, and I'll get a few episodes in, and then I'll just sort of drift off. I'm never like, do you want to watch that next one? And I'm, you know, like, yeah. I've been watching.
Faye loves it, and she stopped watching it. She stopped watching it.
Like, I enjoy it, like, when it's on. But I don't know why, I just kind of drift off. And I don't do that with other ones. Like, I rewatched Rick and Morty there this week. Like, just excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I would put them in very similar
I think
categories.
They're critically, I would say, they're very close together
for me.
They're,
smart,
like,
funny.
Yeah.
You know.
There's some of the wordplay in
I was only watching
Horseman is ridiculously good. Like, one was like, it's like they were doing a flashback. And it was like to like the 97 or whatever. Yeah. And it was like, good morning, it is whatever date, it's like 12th January 1997 at 11 a.m. And he was like, we already did that segment, John. Are you okay? He's like, no, I think I'm having a stroke. It's like, just because that's only where you're coming in. Like,
the one that got a big laugh from me on Rick and Morty yesterday was they're watching that interdimensional TV. Or
yeah, I love it.
And it was like, I'm pregnant and I just had sex or whatever. Like, what's going to happen? And it's like, we return to pregnant baby after this.
The great thing, like, and it kind of ties into maybe why the genie was so good, is that like interdimensional cable.
Yeah,
it's all improv, and they animate it around it.
I was thinking that,
and it's
it seems
the same
like
with the genie in Aladdin, that like they animated around a lot of his.
Oh really?
Yeah. But the international cable, you can tell where he's like,
I was just
into my eyes.
Yeah. And I got you know, like, just keep like,
I love that the first one maybe it is where he's like, he leaves, you know, I got doors here, doors there. Yeah. And he's like, come on, he's in traffic. And his following them just gets out, like, it's the same.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. He's like, oh my God, it's the same ad.
Is there a season 4 coming out soon?
It's coming, yeah. I think it's shorter, but it's coming. They've returned for like 6 more seasons, but they're going to be shorter seasons. Whoa. Yeah, because it was taking them so long.
I would say it takes so long to do like each one. Yeah, yeah.
But like it's
Terry, dare I say it? Can we talk about The Simpsons, please?
I guess.
We are talking, Terry, since you asked, about season 6, episode 2 of The Simpsons, Lisa's Rival. Directed by Mark Kirkland and written by Mike Scully. His first episode.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Because he's a household name.
I know. Yeah. I think this was his first one. It aired on September 11th.
No.
That's a bad omen right there. 1994. And guest starred Winona Ryder as Alison Taylor.
That was Winona.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I didn't know until afterwards either. And I was trying to think.
I was like, oh, it's just, you know, listening to it now, like, it's definitely her. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I generally like to know beforehand so I can picture it, because I hate when I find out afterwards and it's like I didn't appreciate if I really liked the person. This was another episode that was affected by the Northridge earthquake that affected the last one, so they had to completely move from the studio because it was so badly damaged it had to be condemned. And a lot of the animation for the episode was done by people at their own homes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was written by Mike Scully, but the episode's original concept was pitched by our man Conan O'Brien before he left the show. I mean, I say pitched, he literally just suggested having an episode about a rival for Lisa, and the rest of it was written by Mike Scully. And it was the first episode he wrote. Winona Ryder was a big fan of the show, and apparently David Merkin recalled that more writers came to her recording session than any other.
Which I wonder where that was.
What was it, 94? Yeah.
Yeah.
The character's name, Lisa's Rival's character's name, was derived from the names of Scully's two daughters, Alison and Taylor. Yes. The subplot was pitched by George Meyer, who I think should get a gold star for this one, for Homer's sugar diatribe.
Yes.
It was pitched. Now, this is what I thought was interesting. It was pitched by Meyer off the top of his head and animated by David Silverman, who specifically asked to animate the scene after listening to Dan Castellaneta's
You can tell the animation is different in that scene.
That sugar scene, I mean, we'll get to it, but where he's going off with a big rant, I'm like, what's going on with the animation here? It's completely...
It reminded me of when Homer had eaten the like Mexican insanity pepper.
And
I was like, why is he like his arms? Anyway,
It finished 23rd overall when it aired, and it had a Nielsen rating of 9.9, the second highest rated show on Fox that week.
What is always beating it, I wonder? Like Cops or something?
Cops, like Melrose Place, maybe, shit like that. Beverly Hills 90210.
Pure lowbrow.
Despite the authors of our favourite book that we've never read, I Can't Believe It's a Bigger and Better Updated Unofficial Simpsons Guide, said that despite it being a Lisa show, it is poor Ralph Wiggum who steals the show with 3 great irrelevant replies, especially those concerning his cat's breath. And you know what, the more reviews I read from these guys, the more I don't want to read this book. There, I said it. They also,
Andy, please.
They also highlighted great scenes between the Simpson siblings, especially Bart's idea to conquer Allison using a hose pipe.
Yes.
But apart from that, I'm kind of all out.
Have just one little more tidbit. You pretty much covered everything I had. But the speech patterns of the beekeeper that Dan Castellaneta voice at the end are based on Adam West's portrayal of Batman. I found. Wait, think about it though. Pretty much.
Those are my favourite characters of the show.
I can't wait to talk about him. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have there as well.
I should say, the chalkboard gag is no one is interested in my underpants. And
what was your couch?
The Simpsons swim to the couch?
Yeah, that was mine.
I don't remember actually watching it. I'm just reading it here. I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah.
They're like swimming as if the carpet's water.
The couch is like...
Fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. They're all fine, I guess.
They are all fine.
We start off pretty good in that, like, you know, you have, it's going to be a Lisa show, sure, and she's practicing, but like, this kind of sets the tone for how much I enjoyed Bart this episode.
Yeah, I
where
like
he's,
Bart.
Where he's like, I love this kind of Bart, where he's kind of like, he's not like obnoxious, he's kind of playful, or like, you know, he has like little schemes that he's up to on the side, like, when he's like saying, he's like, I'm making a crank call to Skinner.
Well, as a matter of fact, my refrigerator wasn't running. You spared me quite a bit of spoilage. Thank you, anonymous young man.
No! Great, like, of course, like, it just ties into, like, him doing the pencils at night. Yeah. Like, you know, that sort of, this is his life.
Mr. Straight-Lace.
Yeah, exactly. I liked how, you know, Bart basically saying he's gonna get her back, but just like kicking the wall.
That's so sibling-y, isn't it?
Yeah, but I love, like, he's reading like Bad Boys Life, and he's just like lying on a bed, you know.
I know, that's exactly what a brother and sister do.
And yeah, it's a great little thing of like, just she can't, you know, peace in her own room. She goes to the garage. Who's in the garage? It's Homer.
Yeah,
and he's there with
on a fixed camera with
a drill and a hammer. Easy.
Like, what do you think was going to happen?
Oh, bigger drill. And then inside, Marge is daydreaming while reading her book. The size of that pillow she was lying on.
I didn't notice.
Oh, it was huge. It was like enveloping her. Seemed pretty comfy. Mm. But
it's weird to see Marge in a scene like this where she's like,
I always,
fantasizing.
It always made me stand out, or it always stood out to me that, like, this is what she's up to, whatever. Did you pick up on any of the jokes regarding the pirate?
I don't know. The obvious ones, I mean, the jokes that he made, but
like the earring.
Oh, where he's like, does that make you a pirate? It's like,
kinda.
It was the first time I did think it when I was watching it for the first time.
Did you know, like, it was the ear?
It's the right ear.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that was that old thing. Is that still true today?
I think so, yeah. The gay ear.
Yeah, I remember you said, obviously, like, oh, don't get your pierced on your right ear. You have to either get your left or both.
Did you have your ears pierced?
No.
Wow.
I know. I really wanted my lip pierced. I wanted my bottom lip, because Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 had his done.
I was always more of a Mark guy, anyway.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me, actually.
Yeah, hey, man.
Mark's great. Yeah, Mark's great.
Well, yeah, you're a fucking Tom guy?
Yeah, I'm a Tom guy.
Yeah, we're those aliens, man.
Yeah, well. Yeah, that's for another show.
That's for our Patreon spin-off.
I did see a UFO once, you know.
Oh, fuck off.
Look, very, very quickly.
Right.
I was living in Raheny. Swear to God, I saw a UFO. Right. And I'm watching TV and I'm looking out the window. Kerry's seen it too. We both looked at each other at the same time. And this thing flew down like this. First I thought, like, is that like a plane or a star? Flew down like this and then just shot off like this. An arc. Like a 90 degree arc. And it went, to make a noise, but it went down and then shot up. And the two of us looked at each other like, did you see that? And I was like, yeah. The aliens. There was even, and this is the kicker. This is the kicker. And then I'm on my lunch and work down the back of the shop. And I see, oh, there were some weather balloons being tested the other night.
Weather balloons.
Terry.
If you mean by UFO, if you mean by the definition of the unidentified flying object, then yeah. It's not a fucking spaceship, man.
Yeah, it's aliens in a spaceship.
No.
In Raheny.
Of all places, like, oh no. It's like, we're lost.
You idiot. Mars is that way.
Let's get out of here. Give me the... No, don't press the turbo.
I hope nobody's seen us.
Anyway. Oh yeah, like where... He's basically saying, and only in the sweet embrace of quietude can two lovers truly be. Oh, such noise! Well, I'm done for the evening. And the voice is very, like,
it's kind of like
flamboyant.
It's kind of like, who are the characters? A tiger? You know, yeah,
like Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
Whatever it's supposed to be.
It's kind of like, it's just like one of them, basically. Mm. It says, stop blowing my sex.
Huh? I mean, blowing your sacks. Your sacks, stop it. And like, Marge's like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I sacrificed a very expensive camera to get some alone.
That was a great joke.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I don't think this was in my episode, because I'm looking at the script, and it's like when she's outside, she's playing. He's like, that sounds like Gabriel's trumpet. That wasn't in mine.
Where do you watch them?
You know what? I didn't have time to break out my DVD this week. Normally I watch it on DVD, but I watched it on the go on an app.
Yeah. Pixaclub?
No, TTV.
Oh. Oh, well. Oh,
I shouldn't be actually putting that out there. But,
you heard it here, folks.
But yeah, it was obviously one that was cut for syndication or whatever. Yeah. Like, and looking at the script now, this is cut for syndication because it's in brackets.
Really?
Yeah. That's what that means.
Where?
See?
Here?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
It says it at the top.
Oh.
We'll cut this out.
I thought this was like industry speak. Like boy, he really knows his movies and stuff.
Anyway, there are a quiz in Miss Hoover's class.
I see, I guess to like Ralph, you know, where like Ralph's asking Lisa for the answers. Lisa won't tell him.
Yeah.
And she gives a big long winded answer about why she won't. And he's like, my cat's name is Mittens.
I love it.
I don't like it. I liked it maybe at the time. But you know one of these jokes that's just like, you know, it's just been too
I love
used.
It. I love the name Mittens for a cat.
It's not the name that bothers me. It's the joke.
Yo, curmudgeon.
And then, yeah, so Allison is the one who gets, and Columbus was looking for a passage to India. Which, I mean, I kind of knew that, but now I do.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you learn something. You learn something and you laugh. And then he found what is now the... During a subsequent voyage, Columbus found what is now the continent of South America.
Like, yowee.
I never made Miss Hoover yowee.
I was like, oh, it really like just like dives headfirst into the story here. Yeah. And that kind of was like, I'm not sure I... Normally, if like... If it was something maybe I was more interested in, I'd
Where's
be like,
the
oh.
foreplay?
No, but like, like, if it was something that I was more interested in, you're like, oh, no messing around here, straight
yeah,
into
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, I'm like, oh, it's not really believable, is it, that she's like so jealous so quickly?
Yeah, just you like know? That. Yeah.
Maybe that's just double standards or whatever, that I'm not like overly interested in Elisa.
I mean, there was a little bit in that she wasn't able to practice and stuff like that, but yeah. I mean, I would have liked at least an extra minute or two.
Beat, yeah. And yeah, the fact that it's like, you know, she tells her that, you know, it's great to meet her, you know, somebody reading, the say, above the 8th grade.
Yeah,
turns or the 8-year-old.
She's 7.
I did kind of like her like line readings, like, you're younger than me too.
Yeah. Breathing into her bag.
And they're like, no, I just like the smell of my lunch.
And she's perfectly nice as well, yeah, the whole time. Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm surprised you haven't been skipped. You're obviously smart enough. And you know.
Yeah.
And what I like is then you see like the girl bullies who you've never seen before or after.
I love the way she calls it like brain queen.
It's such a dumb insult.
Like, out of the way, brain queen. just like, you know, they say they're both going for first chair and like, you know, Lisa is just like, yeah, we're so much in common, like me too, like you can see she's getting
where she's the, like, we're the last one where she's like me too.
Then we get Bart and Homer in the car.
This is just like, where is this coming from? Like, hurry up and finish eating. Bart's just steering.
I would say like this, you know, my last episode seemed grounded, but like also they were kind of seamlessly able to go a little bit high concept. This is like cartoony from the go.
It's very cartoony.
Like you know, and I sometimes it's good, like, but like Homer is
he's not even bothered. Like, is it hard to the right, hard to the left,
can't do, oh man,
nearly he runs over his own father.
He's like, check knife, sugar truck. Sugar. And then here it comes, the best loser in all of The Simpsons, Hans Moleman. He gives him a quarter to go call somebody.
If only the sugar were as sweet as you, sir.
Like, and like Bart's saying, he's, you know, down on his knees. He's like, we've hit the jackpot here. White gold, Texas tea, sweetener.
I love the fact that they're just, they're so like shoveling it into the boot.
And I love this, where it's like, you know, read your town charter, boy. If foodstuff should touch the ground, said foodstuff shall be turned over to the village idiot. Since I don't see him around, start shoveling.
It's like, purely for the fact that it's free that you want it. Like,
sugar.
You wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like,
but, like, I actually thought Mole Man came back in this episode. There was something more, but he's just gone.
I don't remember him coming back.
No, I thought he did. Yeah. Like, I misremembered or whatever. But it's like, it's just... Like, he was... For a period, I found him, like, the funniest character in this episode.
As Mole Man?
Yeah. And, like, there's something about, like, when somebody can play... Or somebody can write a loser really yeah. well. Like, I always think of something about Mary. Yeah. And, like, Ben Stiller is, like, the best fucking loser, yeah. I think. Like, especially, like, right at the end where he's, like... Now, spoilers for something about Mary. But he's, like... He's like, I want you to be happy, Mary. So, you can be with Brett or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And he walks out and she's like... Like, just that, like, snotty crying, and he's like, yeah. Look at this, a full body shake with the cry. Like, it's like, oh, it's so good. Like, even the bit where he's like, and like, you telling me you're not head over heels for this one? It's like, I'm not. Like, you're the biggest stalker of us all. They're all like, get the hell out of here.
Such a great movie. Matt Dillon in that movie yeah. just makes it as well. I keep forgetting.
The teeth. How's my stomach taste? She says.
You got Lee Evans for some reason yeah. popping up in it as well.
Like, I love her, man.
Just like you. I'm a fucking fraud. Like the worst American accent. Yeah.
You told me you wouldn't fuck me over until we fuck this fuck over.
Oh, we should just do that.
Yeah, man.
But also I find like when Homer takes the sugar, like he probably wouldn't even notice. Like it's a whole
there's so much like yeah we're back to Marge and she has obviously come because she is very content on the couch. I
wasn't ready for that. Yeah,
she is very content on the couch. Lisa is sort of annoying.
Yeah, she's still just dreaming away.
Oh
yeah.
She's dreaming alright. But I do love it where it's like, you know, she's giving out, she's like, maybe it could have been nicer to Principal Skinner, if you yeah. know what I mean. It's like, Lisa, I am nice.
Now,
that's what she's like.
Do you think, okay, I was thinking that when she, because Lisa's obviously implying something and yeah. Marge is like, I am nice. Do you think Marge is so oblivious?
Yes.
That she's just saying I'm nice? Or yeah, is she,
like she yeah. takes offense to like the idea that she's not nice.
It's kind of rather weird
than Lisa saying you should be that. Whoring yourself out to Principal Skinner.
It's kind of weird to have that right after her right sexual after. Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's Marge like, but maybe just this place out her joke.
In this episode, Marge gets a little blue.
She does.
And then Homer has made dinner. His food tastes a little strange though.
That's because I've loaded it with sugar.
Now, you see the bag?
Yeah, Farmer Homer's sweet
sugar. We went to EP one year and Pilo...
Electric Picnic.
Yeah, had bought... You know, you bring your bottle of whiskey. You're, mm-hmm. not allowed, you're not allowed to bring glass bottles in.
Yeah.
So you have to put it in a plastic or whatever. And I had mine in a mouthwash bottle, which... A bottle of mouthwash.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, I emptied out a bottle of mouthwash and poured whiskey into it. But you could still taste a bit of the mouthwash.
I'm sure you could.
But Pilo had his own bottle of whatever whiskey he brought, but he'd done the picture of, like, Farmer Homer's sweet, real crudely drawn on as well. Like,
deadly.
But it was like the drawing on the thing. It was really good. Like,
it's a good pull as well.
Yeah. If you knew, you knew, you know?
Yeah, if you're in the know. That would have gone right over my head.
Oh.
Marge, our ship has come in. I found 500 pounds of sugar in the forest that I'm going to sell directly to the consumer. And all for a low, low price of $1 per pound.
But the grocery store sells sugar for 35 cents a pound.
And it doesn't have nails and broken glass in it.
Those are prizes! Ooh, a blasting cap.
I remember thinking as a kid, it just looked so gross.
Yeah.
Like, just sugar
and glass.
Like, killing his family.
I did like this when they're, like, at the band auditions. And it's like...
Jimbo.
Yeah, he's like... Somebody's been practicing over the summer. Welcome aboard.
It's funny, even like, why would Jimbo want...
wax mad with it.
He walks away. He proper clobbers him. But why does Jimbo even want to be in the school band?
Maybe just so he can beat up Martin.
Yeah. My loot!
And I really like this scene where it's like the two of them are playing.
Sacks off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, but I just love how, like, it breaks into, like, da 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 da. and like everybody's just like dancing, the kids are all dancing. I was like, oh man, that's deadly. Really good animation.
Yeah, it was good.
And like even just the way their faces were animated,
especially Lisa at the end where she's like
beetroot, like yeah,
really looks but, like she's yeah. playing the sax.
Yeah, but yeah. like your woman's face, like Allison's face was going red as well, like so
excuse me, I have a runny nose.
Don't do it on mic. Yeah, I know you were. I know you were going to lean in and do it.
The like, pressure.
Yeah. You can blow it, but just don't blow it on the mic. Like,
it's fine.
What are you up to?
I don't know. Yeah. I've never once been confident in my nose blowing abilities.
Really?
Since I've been a kid. Yeah.
Oh,
never
man.
Confident.
You gotta get.
I have to do it in the bathroom.
With a nose like mine, you gotta get confident quickly. Quite frankly, and Faye hates when I do this. If I go, give her the old paperless blow.
Yeah.
Well, I get a look like...
Nothing's better, though. I mean, you got to do it outside or like...
You got to do it outside, but like...
Maybe do it into the sink. Now, let me ask you something. Yeah? Do you blow your nose at your desk and work?
Yeah, all the time.
You motherfucker.
Well, you got to blow.
Yeah, you go to the bathroom and you blow.
Fuck off.
You go to the bathroom.
I'd be gone all day.
That's your problem.
No, it's not
my problem. Like, you listen to fucking snot slide out of your nose.
My God.
When I have to go, I'll at least go into the kitchen over there and I'll blow my nose. I'm not going to just go and let everyone hear my
It's a natural thing, like.
Yeah, so shitting, but you don't do that at your desk.
Because... What? It's not nearly the same.
It's natural.
But, like, I'm not stinking up the place or, like...
It's
more socially acceptable to blow your nose than it is to take a dump. And you know this. Why are you even making this argument
I'm not comparing shitting to blowing nose.
You absolutely are, actually. Like,
technically, yes. Yeah. That is exactly what I'm doing. I just find it gross when people do it in here.
Anyway. Get over it, man. It's winter season as well. I got my flu shot today, actually.
Flu shot?
Yeah.
Ah.
Free in the hospital.
You'll be getting the flu tomorrow, so.
It's not a live vaccine yet.
Isn't that what happens whenever anyone gets the flu shot?
No.
They get the flu.
Well, they inject you with a tiny bit of the flu, but it's not a live vaccine, so it won't be for another couple of weeks till the flu goes live.
I don't think they know what they're doing with that vaccine.
All right, man. All right. We'll see who's sick over Christmas.
For the record, I'm not anti-vaccine. Yeah. I'm just talking about this specific incident.
The anti-flu vaccine.
It could to me in a month's time, like, it's so cold.
Where are we? Oh, yeah. Then Lisa wakes up. I like this, actually, where it was like, it was a close one, but you made it.
I won first chair.
No, you're getting consciousness. Allison got first chair.
The scream she lets out.
And then it was the same again.
I thought there's something up with the episode.
They did. I always remember.
I was like, no, it's just repeat it again. It was just.
But then
a dream.
I love you, man. And believe me, this is not a dream.
Brilliant.
There's a great little gag in here where it was like, Lisa's going on about how there's a better girl at school. She's younger. And she's like, oh, you'll always be number one to me.
Yeah.
Bart's like, first born within earshot.
Yeah. I'm a number one girl.
Yeah. And then Maggie. But then the idea of like, she's like, I always thought I had the world's tallest hair. But that trip to Graceland really opened my eyes.
Yeah.
This was also cut. And I knew I forgot it. It wasn't in my episode either. Where it was the door-to-door sugar.
Sugar man!
Door-to-door sugar. What a marvelous idea. What's that, Mother? I'm just talking to the sugar man. Mother, I'm a big boy. I can do as I wish. Excuse me. Thanks a lot, Simpson. Now I'm grounded.
What a marvelous idea.
That wasn't in the episode.
No. And I was like, I knew I'm missing something. Like, I like this where, you know... Ralph is asking Allison.
This is probably the biggest laugh I got. The whole thing.
It's great.
Yeah, he's like, hey Allison, what's the answer to number 9?
I can't tell you, Ralph.
I can't tell you either, Ralph.
Leave me alone.
Burn.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like.
Such a burn.
Yeah, and then Bart here, where he's like, I hate to see you so miserable. And that's from a rubber spider I put down your dress, like. The little recorder.
Yeah.
That gives me an idea. Note for later. Put rubber spider down Lisa's dress.
And he's like, hey, you know, I better dig up some dirt, Allison. Remember how I got Milhouse's picture on America's Most Wanted?
Like, there he is, on the monkey bars.
Try to take him alive.
Poor Milhouse.
Not again. And just the thing in the background, like, when they floor over the monkey bars. I like her delivery here, Lisa, where, like, he gives her the card, and she's like, I don't need a card. You live in the room next to me.
Note, next year, order fewer cards.
Homer describing how much his sugar selling is going, like how well it's going.
I always love this joke because he finds a dollar basically while out.
Waiting for the bus.
Yeah, and Marge says that while he was earning that dollar, he lost $40 by not going to work.
Now, let's do a little bit of math here.
$40 a day.
Yeah, how many? So
five
like
days.
To make $200 a week.
A week.
How much an hour do you reckon he's making if you were to divide it?
Five.
Yeah. Is $5 an hour. That's fucking depressing.
Isn't there, if you trace the steps, you can find out what he actually earns. I think it was something like that. Like,
really?
Something like $20,000 a year. Jesus. Or something. Like, how can they afford it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
good heavens, look at this palace.
It's a palace.
I live above a bowling alley and below another bowling alley.
Oh, come on. It's
like, the plan called and said, if you don't come in tomorrow, don't come in Monday.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend.
I always laughed at that joke. I don't know. Like, yeah, I think of that
the
all
obliviousness
the time.
Of it. Like, I like this where Lisa has her imagination. It's like.
And now, Avis Rent-A-Car is proud to present the second best band in America. Will you welcome Garfunkel, Messina, Oakes, and Lisa singing their number two hit, Born to Runner Up?
Why would they come to our concert just to boo us?
Did you kind of get that it was supposed to be like Born to Run?
Yeah. Now, I know Garfunkel, I know Oates.
I don't know who Messina is.
Like, I know I've heard it.
No.
I know we know a couple of their songs well. I just can't think of who the other guy is.
No. And I should have researched it, but I thought you might know, to be honest.
No, I thought I was going to know too. But, yeah.
Bart comes in with his background check.
In fact, Bart just has nothing to do. Yeah, like, he's just willingly helping her now.
He's like, yeah, she's clean as a bean. But I did tip off to the feds to the whereabouts of our good friend Milhouse.
And then you get the meme that's just been used all the time.
I'm telling you, I didn't do anything.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's great, but I wish they had have done a better job of, like, getting Tommy Lee Jones, like, an impression of Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, really? It's supposed to be?
That's Fugitive, like.
Yeah, I knew it was Fugitive, but I...
Yeah, it's Tommy Lee Jones, like, I don't care. But, like, yeah, I don't know, it just didn't seem like...
Is that at all like the movie? Like, is that literally the scene?
That's the scene, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the scene where he's like, I didn't kill my wife.
I don't care.
Yeah, but it's not that. That's not Tommy Lee Jones. You know, like that is you doing the Simpsons voice. Yeah.
I quite like the Simpsons one.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
but I would prefer.
I haven't seen the original, but I mean, of course, I haven't. But it's just the manner of how, like, you know, like,
he won an Oscar for it. He did.
Did he?
Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah, that's what he won his Oscar for.
Oh, good. I'm glad he's an Oscar winner.
Yeah, he's a bit of a ham though. But
he's a bit of a ham.
Yeah,
he got lucky with that one, with that role.
But that was the thing. Did you ever see the sequel, U.S. Marshals? And it's It's the same character.
Hands upright and proper.
Yeah, proper. Like, it's like, oh, I can't remember what your man. Like, Wesley Snipes is the guy he's chasing. He's like, get your hands down. He's like, I can't remember his name, but it's like he comes out onto a roof and he's like, get your hands down. He's like, can't get caught, and like swings off the roof. And Wesley Snipes.
I want to see
good movie,
now.
Man. I like it, man. That's like 97. So is that sweet spot of 90s action. Speaking of, right? Twitter poll I saw a couple of weeks ago. Yes. I meant to bring this up.
Yes.
Face Off, Con Air, or The Rock, you can only keep one, and then the other two are gone forever.
Connor.
Oh, right, yeah. Me too, yes. Oh, finally, we're on the same page.
Yeah,
all right. Because, like, Con Air got the lowest votes.
Did it?
Yeah. And then The Rock was second, and everybody went Face Off. Quite frankly, I...
Face Off's the worst of the three of them.
I would say,
I only seen The Rock, like, 2 years
ago.
Yeah,
we did it for another podcast. Yeah. The great thing about The Rock was, like, the Ed Harris. Like, his character in The Rock was, like...
He makes it.
But, like, that's the thing, like, you know, the weirdness between, like, Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
He's like, Godspeed. Godspeed. Good wife.
Yeah. I feel like any movie where you got Ed Harris as, like, an army guy and delivering a line like, make no mistake, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Like, any of those where he's briefing a team.
The whole thing is that, like, you know, he's going to blow up whatever. Because he wants money, the US government to pay money to these fallen soldiers' families.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, that's like, it's not like a bad, it's not like I'm going to blow up the world for whatever.
Yeah.
He's holding the government hostage for stuff that they're accountable for.
Yeah.
And then like halfway through it, he's
more
like,
more depth than you'd get.
Yeah, 100%. And like, he's doing all these amazing monologues. And then the bit where he's like, he can't go through with it. And he's like, stand down, Captain. Like, and he goes, he's like, stand down, Captain. And he's like, oh, that crack in the voice did it. Like, they know he's too good a guy. Like, he's the bad guy, yeah, but he's too good a guy to go through with his own evil plan. I was like, oh, you wouldn't get that with a lot of other actors playing that character. Like,
excuse me, General, but what about the fucking money?
There is no fucking money. Mission's over.
Bullshit, it's over.
You're talking to a general, soldier. Maintain discipline.
I'm not a soldier, Major. The day we took hostages, we became mercenaries. And mercenaries get paid. I want my fucking money!
This mission was based on the threat of force. I'm not about to kill 80,000 innocent people. Do you think I'm out of my fucking mind? We bluffed. They called it. The mission's over.
Whoever said anything about bluffing, General?
Stand down, Captain.
Stand down, Captain!
You know, I feel like he hasn't aged at all. I feel like he's been...
Like, if you've seen him in Westworld...
Oh, I did see him in Westworld.
And he has aged. Like, yeah. But he's still deadly. He's fucking brilliant in Westworld. Like,
yeah, he's great in Westworld. Yeah. That's the role he was born to play. Yeah. But I feel like he's been playing those roles throughout his entire career.
Like, even, like, Gone Baby Gone...
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
He's fucking deadly in that. Yeah.
See, like, with those three movies you mentioned, like, Con Air is the most fun.
Yeah.
Face Off is probably the least fun, but it's still like outrageous.
Mental, like, yeah, that, like
The Rock is just like a better film.
I think The Rock. I don't know if it's the best film. Like,
I would say it's technically.
Maybe, but I don't really like that, like, Michael Bay shaky. Remember, like, they have a whole thing down this street to San Francisco, and it's like shaking the camera and all. I'm like, ugh.
It's like, what is this?
Yeah. Like, cage.
Just those characters, like, in The Rock, like that hairdresser. So, stereotypically gay. Tell me you at least like the haircut.
Yeah, it's like 95, like, the height of it.
Unbelievable.
But, like, yeah, like with Con Air, it's just like Nicolas Cage.
Con Air is. So good. I would watch it right now, and then when it finished I would turn it on again and watch it.
Tell her she's my hummingbird. Cyrus, this is your barbecue and it tastes good. But I'm gonna put a bullet in that pig's head while he's like kicking over the hostages, like,
Cyrus, this is your barbecue.
This is your barbecue, and it tastes good. This Cajun accent.
And then you got Calvini, like, in it, like,
he's like, what?
John Cusack?
Larkin, you little piece of shit.
The situation's never been contemplated.
Well, you better start contemplating, because this is a situation that needs to get unfucked right now.
It's got everyone.
Larkin,
in it.
It's got, like,
John Malkovich in it. It's got, yeah, John Cusack. It's got everyone.
It's got Steve Buscemi.
Yes!
Buscemi, sorry. That's apparently how you pronounce it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not changing it now.
Anyway, back to this.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad we're on board with
that. Yeah, me too. It's not often we agree on those things.
So Lisa decides to stop being so petty and go over to Allison's to hang out.
Yeah.
I like Bart. He's like, yeah, why bother competing with somebody who's just going to kick your butt anyway?
I prefer my phrasing.
And then we get Allison's father, Professor Taylor. I've heard really great things about you.
Is that one of the guy who voices that guy, though? Is he one of the main
I think so, yeah. I think it's like Harry Shearer. Like,
so yeah. He says what? So they take... This seems like the most complicated
game. Oh my
game.
God. Like
proper names and rearrange the letters to form a description of that person. So, right. I don't know. Alec Guinness.
Genuine class.
Oh, very good. All right, Lisa. Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy's iron.
Well, that's very good for a first try. You know what? I have a ball. Perhaps you'd like to bounce it.
I love that. It's like, that's very good for a first try.
He's
like,
really trying to find the words.
They talk about dioramas, who could wait, you know? And this, it doesn't, like, because, like, Lisa's like, it isn't for weeks. And then it seems like the next day she's like stayed up all night doing it. Like,
it's,
you know,
because she's done hers. Yeah.
But then it's like it happens the next day almost. It seems like, you know? She's so uncomfortable when she sees how good Allison's one is. Bounces the ball, hits her foot.
Yeah.
Got away from her. You keep at it. And then we get Homer sitting in front of his sugar.
Homer? In America, first you get the sugar, then you get the power, then you get the women.
Can you tell me what movie that's from, Terry?
Scarface?
Yeah.
Don't you bring that shit in here.
Homer! Homer!
What?
I want you to forget about guarding the stupid sugar. You're being completely paranoid.
Oh, am I? Am I really? Aha!
Hello.
All right, pal. Where'd you get the sugar for that tea?
I nicked it when you let your guard down for that split second. And I'd do it again. Goodbye.
You see, Marge? Do you see?
Homer, when are you going to give up this crazy sugar scheme?
Never! Never, Marge! I can't live the button-down life like you. I want it all. The terrifying lows, the dizzying highs, the creamy middles. Sure. I might offend a few of the blue noses with my cocky stride and musky odors. Oh, I'll never be the darling of the so-called city fathers who cluck their tongues, stroke their beards, and talk about what's to be done with this homie Simpson.
Look, just get rid of the sugar, okay?
No! Hey, get off my sugar! Bad bees! Bad! Ow! Ow! Oh, they're defending themselves somehow.
Who cluck their tongues, stroke their beards, and talk about what's to be done with this Homer Simpson.
Is that from Anton, or is that
No, I think it's just him.
That's
like,
amazing.
He's saying, like, Dan Castellaneta, and that's, like, when they saw the recording. Because it said George Meyer sort of wrote it, but he kind of wrote it off the top of his head, and Dan Castellaneta sort of just lent a lot of flavour to it.
If that is him off the cuff, that's amazing.
Yeah,
really is.
I think it's George Meyer off the cuff, and then
right.
But Dan Castellaneta did the enunciation. Yeah, I like Lisa here, where she handcrafted all 75 characters from Oliver Twist, and now the coup de grace. A bitter snowstorm. And it just like blows straight out the window. Like,
it's like, is it all right?
The important thing is we survived. So then they kind of decide that, you know, they're going to sabotage Allison's diorama.
As the French say, bartesque.
I like, just before we get into pretty much, we're coming right to the end now, but it's like Bart, he's like,
welcome to the nether regions of the soul. Now, here's what we do. Tomorrow morning, when Allison comes out of her house, we spray her with the hose, soaking her from head to toe, leaving us relatively dry.
Relatively?
Well, there's bound to be some splashback.
Bart, her being wet won't help me win the competition.
Well, we could just sabotage her diorama, humiliating her in front of the students and faculty.
Perfect!
Leaving her prime for the most traumatic hoose-soaking of her life.
Enough with the hose!
And then we get a Goldsboro honey. We get two beekeepers.
Amazing. Sure is quiet in here today.
Yes! A little too quiet, if you know what I mean.
I'm afraid I don't.
You see, bees usually make a lot of noise. No noise suggests no bees.
Oh, I understand now. Oh, look, there goes one now.
To the Beemobile.
You mean your Chevy?
Yes.
I always love that guy. Yeah. Like, no noise. Yes, a little too quiet.
Well, very clever, Simpson. Luring our bees to your sugar pile and then selling them back to us at an inflated price.
Bees are on the what now?
Simpson, you diabolical. We're willing to pay you $2,000 for the swarm.
Deal!
Oh, wait a minute. The bees are leaving.
No! My sugar is melting! Melting! Oh, what a world!
Oh, wait a minute. The bees are leaving. And then he's just gone then, like...
And your man, like, as your man's counting the money, like, the other guy, like, puts his hand up, like, oh, wait, the bees are leaving.
Yeah.
And I find your man looks the spit of Milhouse. The other guy.
Like a grown-up Milhouse.
Blue hair, glasses. Yeah, yeah. That could be Milhouse's dad, like...
Homer is like, oh, my sugar is melting, melting, oh, what a world.
And, like, what I found with that as well is he's, like, crying, like, weeping. And then Marge is like, I'm sorry. It's all right, Marge.
Yeah.
Like, straight away, he's over it.
Do you know what that's from?
Melting,
melting. Oh, what a world.
Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
I'm knocking them out of the park, these references these days.
I think you're checking up
on them. Yeah, well, I'm known.
You got a lot
this, okay.
Yeah, you got a lot of time.
I thought you asked just out of the blue. It was like, oh, it's part of the script. Okay.
We get the first of the dioramas, The Grapes of Wrath.
Here's the grapes.
And here's the wrath.
That was my first hearing of Grapes of Wrath.
Was it?
When I was a kid.
I was a kid, like, yes, yes, very good wrath.
And Uther, I loved Uther because he's so like.
I begged you to look at mine first. I begged you. And Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
and then I don't know why. Like Bartlett was like funny. This he's like, here is, as the French say, the fake diorama.
And even like he's like over there, like making noise, like, hey, it's Bart, and he's doing stuff. Like Milhouse with his glasses all crushed up, like,
and Bart's diverse, yeah. Like, God.
Stop creating a diversion and get out of here.
And then so you have Allison's turns out to be a cow's horn.
Allison, is this supposed to be some kind of joke?
So she starts getting upset. And I like the fact that they just don't
Skinner
believe her.
Skinner is just like, he's like, at least have the guts to take the blame, girl. You're only compounding your folly. Like, really laying into her, like. And then he's like, young lady, cow hearts belong in a butcher's window, not a classroom. Well, maybe in an older student's biology classroom, but that's none of my business. Elementary school is where I end up, and it's too late to know anything about it now.
I love when these characters like start to take out their own lives. Yeah, exactly. As part of it. Like. Like, and so the whole thing is ticking.
Yeah,
under
it's
the
good. It's like tells your heart. Good.
And again, I mean, so Lisa gets it, and even just the fact that like she gets it out is like, it's sterile.
Yeah,
no real insight.
So then, like Lisa is like, I don't. The way I behaved, I don't deserve to win.
Well, this doesn't deserve to win.
And then it's just like, oh, now we're into the dregs. Ralph Wiggum's entry. Prepackaged Star Wars characters still in their display box.
What's a diorama?
Are those the limited edition action figures? Why, it's Luke. And Obi-Wan, and my favorite Chewie, they're all here. What do you think?
I think it's lunchtime.
We have a winner! And then they're just walking off together. And you get a really nice bit at the end, where, like, Ralph, like, I beat the smart kids. Yeah. And he's like, ah!
I bet my Wookiee.
And then they want Ralph to come play the anagram game, and he says, my cat's breath smells like cat food.
Ha!
I liked it.
It's almost a shame that Allison isn't in it anymore.
She is in it, but like she's just never a featured character.
Oh, really?
It's not like, you know, like Janie is a thing. She's just like one of the girls. Like, remember that woman, like Lisa Kudrow?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like one of the girls in that episode.
Oh,
but,
gotcha.
Yeah. Should we get into ratings?
Please!
Let me ask you something. Mr. Sucker, how'd you find this one?
I'll level with you, Terry. I liked it. Tell you what, it was a weird one in that I didn't particularly care for the main plot, but the subplots I really did like.
Yeah.
And it's probably a little unfair. I was thinking when I was watching it, I was like, could the Lisa one have been a subplot? But not really. No. Like, it has to have taken center stage.
The sugar stuff doesn't have enough weight to carry.
No.
Like, yeah.
And like, Bart and Homer really do a lot of the heavy lifting as far as the laughs go. And I do really like these episodes, or like these kind of episodes for Bart, where he's just kind of like, you know,
an
he's
agent
there.
Of chaos, for lack of a better term. Like,
he's just there when you need him. Yeah. Like, same with Homer. Like, that, the whole sugar part, like, it's completely unrelated to the plot. Like, it doesn't cross, like, intersect at all. But Lisa and Allison, I thought, it is a good concept. And it's not like it was done particularly poorly, but it just didn't quite do it for me.
I hear you.
And it is for that reason, Terry, I will give this episode a 8.0.
Ooh, 8 on the button.
An 8 on the nose. I thought my MVP would be Bart, which I don't often say that. I think, even Marge was pretty
good,
funny.
Well, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree with a lot of what you're saying there. My MVP is also Bart.
Nice.
Yeah, it's the only time this season I'll probably give it to him, to be honest. Like I say, I really like him just sort of bouncing around and sort of adding a lot of flavor to Lisa's scenes.
Yeah.
I know, it was just a bit average, the main thing.
Yeah.
But it was a good spine, because it allowed all the other stuff to happen on the outside. But it's not like there was nothing special about it.
It wasn't like it had a huge amount of heart instead of ass, because it was kind of like,
that's saying, it was
Lisa
very,
was being a bit irrational, and now she realized, oh, it's fine.
It's very zany. It's kind of bouncing all over the place, and it doesn't really settle on a tone or anything like that. I'm going to give it an 8.3.
Oh, okay.
It was still better than most things you're going to watch, and there was still a lot of laughs in it.
It's got some of the most memorable scenes. Yeah. The I don't care and Homer's sugar thing and all that stuff there.
But then I was like, it's not a great episode.
I know.
Like, you know, it's not like top tier. You're not gonna be like, oh Jesus, it's Lisa's rival, I can't wait to watch it. You know, like, you know,
you're, it's Lisa's no, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's a mega episode, buckle up. Shall we get our plugs in,
please? Terry,
where can they find us online?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Put It in H Podcast. You can find us on
iTunes,
on Android, anywhere you get podcasts.
Any podcatchers. You can get us on SoundCloud. We might be switching hosting in the near future, but you know, we'll keep you in the loop.
Keep you posted on that. We'll always be on iTunes and all that.
And like I say, if you can give us a review or a rating.
Definitely a review would be most welcome.
I forgot to do this at the start of the episode, but I just want to give a little shout out to Ronan Lowther, who is a new fan. Apparently this will make his day. So Ronan, thanks for listening.
If
you want to write us a review, or if you want us to, you know, if you have any questions for us, drop us a line at putitinhpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, 5-star reviews go a long way for our awareness and help grow the podcast.
We got another one the other day. I was bumped us up by about 100 places in the charts.
Yes.
So,
take that, please, Ellen.
Please keep that. Keep
my
that coming.
Feud, one-sided feud with Ellen
is really heating up.
Yeah.
Now, Terry, that would be obviously great support. And if they wanted to find other ways to support us, do they have the means to do that?
Go to paypal.me/putitinhpod if you want to donate. I will say, please do not donate if you cannot afford to. But if you can afford to empty those pockets, it'll help us defray the cost of running this enterprise.
Yes, sir. There's also a link on our SoundCloud page.
Yes, you can click on that there. Mm-hmm. Next week, what have we got?
We've got another Simpsons clip show. So we're going to have to really bring it for that
one. Yeah, I know. Get some coffee in here for that one.
But we'll make it fun.
Yeah. Until then, folks.
Keep watching the skis.
Skis. Red lorry, yellow lorry. Red lorry, yellow lorry.
I can't even see in front of me here. Maybe if I just... What if I talk like this?
No, that's fine. That's fine. We just do it this way.
Huh? Terry, if you touch my mic.
I don't even want to tell you what's going to happen.
All right.
Hello and welcome to Put on an H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast.